from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Wojtyn.
Oh, you know what day it is. It is Fresh Fridays. Welcome in to the G and Ursula Show. Ursula, she had to fly away for a little bit. She headed over to Boulder, Colorado to go check in on her youngest son. But don't you guys worry. One of the best fill-ins, my former co-host from those night times at Cairo Nights, my main man, Aaron Mason. Brother Mace, good morning.
What's up, G? Loving this man at work. You kidding me? This is good stuff. Happy Friday, man.
Happy Friday. Andrew, you said you had some cooking, baby. Boy, you got some good stuff right here. Man at work. We're going to have a good show today. Michael Medved is going to join the show at 10 o'clock. And Stacy Ross from 17 ESPN is going to join us at 9:30 to talk about what everybody in the sports world is talking about. What's going on with our franchise quarterback, Russell Wilson. But right now, Brother Chef, you ready to go?
Yes, sir.
Let's get to it. Ursula's top five news stories of the day, brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
Is prison abolition closer than we think? That's the question I ask. One of the biggest races in Seattle is for city attorney. One candidate, Nicole Thomas Kennedy, who joined the show yesterday, is advocating for the abolition of police and prisons, which for many is a complete non-starter. But at least when it comes to youth, there is a powerful advocate for abolition, and that would be King County Executive Dow Constantine. Executive Constantine has just announced the first steps to closing the new youth jail by 2025. By the way, the average population of the jail has sunk from 89 kids in there in 2010 to an average of 27 a day in 2020. That new youth jail has 156 beds, cost $242 million to build, and we'll see where it goes. But this is his plan. He's just getting community feedback, getting a board together of people to advise, but 2025, it should be shuttered.
Okay, let's go from the very beginning. It cost $250 million to build this new jail that has 156 beds. Right. And according to what you're saying in this news, the population numbers inside of those jails are down. And what I mean by down, it went from 80 in there to now 15. So now we got all this money and Dow Constantine is saying, let's take the steps to get this place closed and let's try to close it by 2025. Two things stand out to me. Number one, there is this old thinking that you got to build the jails. You got to build the jails. There's so many bad people. You got to build the jails. I, for one, used to think that same way, right? Like, build more jails because we have bad people. Mm-hmm. And I think that we, the media, we spend oftentimes, we've been talking about this a lot this week, by the way. We talk about the negativity so much instead of all of the positive things. And what I'm saying, Mace, before I throw to you, is we're going to have to, in this case, this was a waste of money. This probably can go towards housing more homeless that can go in there. Mm-hmm. And we also have to think, how about we spend less money on building places for bad kids mm-hmm. to live and be, and take some of that other money and let's see why these kids are bad kids, and let's prevent them from being bad kids.
Right, right. Because I'm going to zoom out a little bit. I really like what you said there, G. And I think when you hear abolition, right, when you hear abolish, that's a very extreme position. But to me, when I hear that reminds me of like a negotiation tactic, right? If you want a raise, you go into your boss and you ask for more than you're willing to accept. But it gives you a starting point so that you can hopefully both meet at a place that works out for both of you, right? What we do need to do, like, I think we need prisons, but I think we really, really, especially in this country, need to rethink incarceration. And so there are a lot of details about this story. There are a lot of facts and numbers and stuff. And for me, I don't want to get lost in that. They are important. But just first reaction thought is, you know what? I'm open to this. And what I think might be a solution is exactly what you said, G. Instead of just trying to punish people after things happen. If you want to actually prevent crime and deter crime and improve people's lives individually and as a society, then you do that by addressing the problem at its root. And our resources and our time are better spent doing those things than building more prisons.
Now, before you make that point, I will say real quick, now, as far as the abolishment of prisons and police, or, you know, policing, hold tight. We can't go that extreme yet. This is the United States of America. We do have a gun problem here in this country, right? We do have a lot of problems that have been swept under the rug.
Yeah.
So this whole idea, like, I'm not even about to have a conversation with anybody that's going to sit here and tell me, yeah, it's time to get rid of the police. No. You cannot put the toothpaste back in the tube on that topic. I'm sorry.
Right, but you know how negotiations work, right? You go in and, like I said, you ask for that raise. You start real hot. Your boss says, nope, we can't do anything. We can't give you any money. It's not in the budget. Well, guess what? It's always in the budget. You just need to suss it out. It's when people dig their heels in and refuse to move at all on an issue. That's where you have a real problem, I think.
Jeff?
Yeah, Constantine notes that, of course, people who committed accused of murder, violent crimes, etc., there's still going to be a place for them outside of society.
Right.
Aaron, I think where your analogy breaks down, though, is saying it's like asking your boss for a raise. Because your boss can flip a switch and pay you $5, $10 more an hour tomorrow. The problem I see is we do not have a bridge solution to getting, at least with the adult population and a lot of these kids, a bridge solution to reduction of incarceration,
to reduction
of policing. And I have yet to see anyone lay out a credible plan, a credible budget for exactly where these people go,
right,
how long it will take to get there. I think the problem is all we are hearing is abolish, defund, but we are not seeing, this is the program we need to invest in. This is how long it will take. What's our timeline? What's our framework to get there?
Right.
And which leaves out conversations, like most reasonable conversations. Like you might have an uncle or a brother or a family member that you disagree with on topics, and you guys are still able to have these conversations. Look, man, I'm not really good at none of this stuff. I'm not really good at the politics because I don't understand it. But it's the extremism, right? It's the extreme sides that seem to make, if you will, good radio, good talking points, make a lot of money. And instead, the real conversations, let's be honest, are civil conversations that happen in the middle, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. That's real negotiations. But this defund the police, get rid of the police. Oh, yeah, okay, like that's going to really work.
You guys remember Bob Martin? He's the elderly owner of the Stag Barber and Styling in Snohomish. He made headlines about a year and a half ago for defying the governor's stay-home orders by both keeping his business open when other barbershops were closed and refusing to require masks in his business. This is what he told the Herald back then.
Nobody's been sick here because of the lack of wearing a mask. I tell people when they come in here, we don't wear a mask in here. I don't want you to wear a mask. I don't wear a mask. If you're worried about germs, I'll give you a shot of whiskey.
Well, Bob Martin, he's still in business despite $90,000 in fines, which he won't pay, and not having a business license, which he says he does not need. Bob is still snipping away one $20 haircut at a time, and thanks to the Herald for the follow-up on that story. One interesting note here before I toss it to you, G. Since the reinstatement of the indoor mask orders, no one has reported Martin for a lack of masks in his shop, to which he tells the Herald, I do not give a about masks.
Yeah. Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that we have lost 700,000 Americans in this country to COVID. And it's unfortunate that we're still in the midst of this pandemic. And it's not over. Even if you have not lost loved ones, somehow, you have been impacted by COVID. Mm-hmm. I know me, you, everybody. If there's one thing we can agree on, we can agree on this. You're tired of us talking about COVID on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, we are tired of talking about COVID.
Mm-hmm.
We're tired of being in situations where just recently, I guess last Friday, I was around someone that might have had COVID. And so on Monday of this week, I had to go get tested. right? So I went to go get tested, and I had to get tested because I had a dentist appointment on Wednesday. I had Thursday night football to work. I have an event on Monday. I have all of these things, so I had to make sure I do the right thing in that situation.
Right.
Well, we're in that situation, Mace, because we're still dealing with COVID.
Yep.
And oh, by the way, for all the moms and dads that have had to go and pick up your child, because you're, think about this. I never thought that there would come a time that you would have to come pick up your child for having a running nose. Hold on. I don't remember never not having a runny nose when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But this is what COVID has brought to us. So it's unfortunate. Like I know there's some people like, oh yeah, he has the right. You know what he does? He can do whatever he wants. Just to me, like at some point, you think that we start to care about other people. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. But you can't just do whatever you want. Like this. That was a great car horn sound, Chef. You also have a baby crying because that's what this guy is to me. Like, just because you're old doesn't mean you're grown up, right? And this Bob Martin fella, 80 years old, this is just a toddler. This is toddler behavior. This is, I don't wanna, so I'm not gonna. And you can't you can't run a business without a business license. Them's the rules. If you don't like it, sorry, but that's how it works. And yeah. If you want to do something else, change that, deal with the fines that are levied against you, run like a speakeasy, you know, mm-hmm. for getting your hair cut. All right. But guess what? There are consequences to that. And just because you don't like them or don't believe in them doesn't mean that they don't exist. And that kind of behavior is bad for everyone.
Now, let me play devil's advocate and let me just go ahead and shed a little truth. And I'm sharing this because it's something you shared as well. I'm going to keep it all the way a buck. The state of Washington, state of California, Oregon, here on the West Coast, we live in a little bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Because the rest of the country, they don't do mask, really.
They
really don't. You were in Philadelphia. Talk about that.
Yeah, I was there a couple weeks ago visiting family, and we would go into restaurants. I'd often be the only one with a mask standing up because I'm used to what we do here, right? So when I walk into a place, if I'm standing, I'll have a mask on. I was oftentimes the only one that includes staff. We went to a Phillies game, go Phillies, and no mask requirements, no vaccine requirements. The staff, I saw maybe a couple staff members working the game wearing a mask, and that was it. And it really did, like, I'm not a jerk. Like, I try not to be anyway. And it really did make me think, oh, right, I'm just doing things that I do because that's what I do, because that's habit. And it's not that I don't agree with mask mandates or vaccine mandates or anything like that. It was a reminder to be open-minded about them, because I don't know mm-hmm. exactly what the numbers are. If you compare our area to, you know, Philly,
mm-hmm. a point in time snapshot isn't representative anyways.
No, right. And there are a ton of variables that go into, you know, how a virus spreads and all that. But it really kind of pulled me out of the bubble for a second. And not that I do anything different here, because I don't. I still behave the way I have through most of the pandemic here. But yeah. It did make me think about it.
Chef, before you switch over, I'm going to say something that I've never shared with, I don't think anybody, not just on the air, but with anybody about COVID. Like, I've been fortunate enough to make it to my 40s, mm-hmm. right? Just in life. And you guys know, I mean, there's all kinds of things we live. I don't care where you live, rich neighborhood, poor neighborhood. Look, we have all gone through something to be like, woo, I'm lucky to be here. I've come to the conclusion, I'm like, yo, if I'm going to get taken out, I don't want to get taken out by COVID.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I know we are going to die at some point, but me personally have said, I don't want to get taken out by that.
No.
If I could do the best that I can to prevent that, that's kind of been my motivation.
I need to be on top of the mountain with my sword out, yelling at the meteor, is this the best you can do?
Right.
That's how I'm going.
How about getting taken out by a hawk? For that, we move on to our final headline. The Seahawks, of course, lost to the L.A. Rams at home on Thursday Night Football last night, losing, of course, Russell Wilson as well in the third quarter with an injury to his middle finger. And we'll talk to Stacey about that next. But while most fans walked away disappointed from the game, one lucky or unlucky fan walked away with the memory of a lifetime. So before every home game, the Seahawks release a live auger hawk. It's actually a buzzard. I don't think
they
advertised that. And it soars around the stadium before it returns to the trainer. But it didn't happen last night. The trainer let the hawk go and...
The hawk landed on this guy's head, guys. This is nuts. That's all everybody in the section's paying attention to right now.
Literally, the hawk landed on a dude's head, like grabbed him by the hair. Fans are like recoiling in horror. The guy is unharmed, apparently, but what a ride for that lucky fan, G.
Okay. All right. So, I don't know. Maybe it's Friday. The way my brain is thinking today, guys, good luck, because it is going to go on a ride. All I keep thinking about is I have that one cousin. Now, I don't know if you guys got that family member, but I personally have, actually, I have a lot of family members that are this way, but this one cousin that I know, had he been in the stands and that hawk would have landed on his head, he would have, oh, Lord, take me. I need the ambulance. Oh, help me. Help me. Help. My cousin would have played. Wait, you mean to tell me something lands on my head at a professional game?
Yeah.
The NFL game? Oh, you would have had to take not him just, out on a stretcher.
Not just anything. A wild beast with razors for feet. I don't. This doesn't make any sense. I don't know what we're doing. Now, maybe I'm a little over the line here on this one, but like, I can't imagine that bird is not at least partially stressed out by all of the noise and fireworks and like all that crazy. What are we doing? Let the bird be a bird, chill wherever it chills. And then, you know, that's why you have mascots. You don't need to involve poor animals in this thing.
Yes, you do. My only question is why the Lions don't have an actual lion on the sidelines.
Wait, are you trying to say that we humans are infringing on their freedoms?
I'm just saying it's insane that we have a bird of prey fly around a crowded stadium. It's madness to me.
Hey, but again, Chef, like you said, no injuries. The person wasn't harmed. They're fine, huh?
They're all right. They're
all
right.
Everybody's cool.
That definitely wasn't my cousin. Oh, Lord! Help me! Hey, happy Friday, everybody. Hey, coming up next, Stacey Ross from the 710 ESPN, our sister station, is going to come on. And we got questions. What is going on with our franchise quarterback, Russell Wilson, and the Seahawks? We find out next. It's Gian Ursula with brother Aaron Mason filling in. It is the Gian Ursula Show. Happy Friday to all of you. Ursula is away today. Aaron Mason fills in for Ursula coming up at 9:45. It'll be time for We Need to Talk. And in San Francisco, they plan to do something with the mask mandate. So we will talk about that at 9:45. But right now, joining the show from the Jake and Stacey Show on our sister station, Stacey 710 ESPN, Stacey Joe, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
You missed it. We've been talking about Ted Lasso. We've been catching up on Ted Lasso.
Yeah, we were catching up on Ted Lasso.
Stacey and I haven't seen each other in a minute.
So if you want to switch gears and talk not Seahawks and just Lasso.
If we need to fill some time, we're ready
okay
for Ted Lasso talk.
No, I'm glad I'm going to be driving this car right here.
I mean, the character development has been phenomenal.
Hey, everybody wants to know what's going on. We saw the franchise quarterback not finish the game, something that we have never seen in 10 years. Mm-hmm. And there is maybe a possibility that we might not see the quarterback in the next game, something that we've never seen in 10 years. Get us up to speed. You were in the press conference. You were in the room with Pete Carroll discussing Russell Wilson. What do we need to know?
So what we need to know is that there have been reports that have come out since that are not from the team. So take them with a grain of salt, but also know that like those are real possibilities. So I'll backtrack. What Pete Carroll told reporters, since it was immediately after the game, is basically like, we don't know anything. He seemed like he was aware of the very real possibility they'd have to roll with Geno Smith for a while, because he said Geno put us in good hands. We felt good with Geno, and it's good to know that we've got Geno while Russ is kind of coming back, indicating to me that like they know that this is really something that could happen for, you know, a week, two, three, who knows how many weeks. We don't know yet whether he needs surgery, but Ian Rappaport of NFL Network said that it looks like this thing, it's called mallet finger, which it basically is, you've got like potentially some ligament damage or tendon damage there in the finger, which would necessitate surgery. It's not season ending, but it would be a couple weeks.
Mallet finger. I've seen those before. And most people that I know, like, I don't need to get surgery. And they have that finger that stays with them the rest of their life. Real quick before Mace, before you get a question, in the movie Ghost, Whoopi Goldberg said to Demi Moore, "You in trouble, girl." Anyway, those that watched the movie Ghost, you know what I'm talking about. Are the Seahawks in trouble?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. I don't need anyone to tell us
that. All right, well, that's Stacey.
No, you guys, like, it's on both sides of the ball. Okay, so look back to week two. In week two, at home, the last game they played in front of fans, the defense completely collapsed in the second half. Also, the offense collapsed in the second half. The offense had put up 30 points, so you thought, okay. If the offense cannot mess up in the second half, and if the offense can be better with third down conversions and be better than they were in this game, maybe that's enough, because the defense can make one or two plays, right? Then you enter this game and you have offensive and defensive issues. I would say that the defensive issues in the second half were pretty jarring.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I'd be curious to know what a full second half with Russell Wilson and DK and Tyler Lockett, or if Chris Carson was healthy, would look like.
Right.
But you can't have problems on offense and defense. You can't win a Super Bowl or get to the postseason. Forget a Super Bowl. Yeah. You can't get to the playoffs when you're giving up 450 yards on defense and when you're not able to score and get in the end zone.
Yeah. So what's up with that offensive line? Because I was watching the game last night, hearing some stats. Russell's the most sacked quarterback in the NFL. Now, I was talking with Chef about this earlier. He brought up a good point. Russ moves around a lot, right? He extends plays, so he opens himself up to contact maybe more than most quarterbacks. Yeah. But I think he has to scramble a lot of times because that line breaks down in front of him. Is there any what are the Seahawks trying to do to fix that? Is that going to be an issue with Geno? If we see more of Geno?
I'm not sure. Geno Smith, the protection was okay around Geno Smith. And again, those are probably related things where Geno probably won't be flushed out as much or kind of go run out as much as Russell Wilson might to find someone open. And also the defense hadn't prepared for Geno. It's just a different quarterback. It's truly just a different quarterback. I think the offensive line, it's not my biggest issue with the team. Russell Wilson in this offense as a whole, like, need a better offensive line than average. The offensive line to me is like kind of average, maybe slightly below average. Dwayne Brown is fantastic. And then they've had some issues with second year guard Damian Lewis, but they swapped him over the left side, and that's a big thing to ask. So again, it's some self-inflicted wounds there. Okay. But again, it's not the biggest issue. I think the problem is just that, like, if you want to play the way you do, like, where you can run all over people, and when you've got this quarterback that can be mobile and keep plays alive, you're going to need like a top 10 offensive line.
Right.
And you don't have that right now. Some teams can get away with it. Some teams can't.
All right. So for some of us out here that, you know, really don't really pay that much attention, we only really watch the Seahawks when we go to a friend's house or a get together or something like that. What can we expect in the next coming weeks? Can you help us with that?
Yeah, I am personally expecting Geno Smith to be the starter moving forward for at least this upcoming week. And quite honestly, potentially until the bye. They get a little bit of a
when
break.
When is that?
The bye is going to be where the next game after the bye is, I think, November like 14th. I don't know. I want to say. So about a month from now, I'm anticipating that, like, okay, let's say Russell Wilson's able to return about a month from now. Now that sounds like a long time, but that's maybe only three games. You've got a slightly easy go of it. Pittsburgh's offense has been horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Roethlisberger has been horrible, so mm-hmm. you get a little bit of a break for the defense. That
always
defense
good to beat
is
the Steelers.
That defense, though, that Steelers defense is really good. So hopefully you get Chris Carson back. That's going to be a huge name to watch this week. So yeah, I'm anticipating, and fans can anticipate, in my opinion, that Geno is probably your guy until we hear otherwise. And you know, you have to think changes on defense, right, G? Like, you can't have this defense hitting that field and making the same mistakes. I don't know if it's
wide open in the zone.
Yeah,
like all kinds
I don't know
of,
if it's personnel. I don't know if it's a trade. I don't know if it's scheme. I don't know what happens, but that's not a playoff defense.
There's one thing that I want, and this is the last topic and the last point I got to make before we get out of here.
Okay. This,
yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
There's one thing that I was not comfortable with in the stadium. I actually, for the first time in years, sat down in the seats. So if that's another story. It was amazing. But there's something.
Ivory tower and came down among the people.
But he was still carrying the plate from the press box.
Yeah,
what?
That's right.
Okay. Listen. gosh. I'm not comfortable. I was not comfortable with. I love the backup quarterback.
Mm.
I love Geno Smith coming in. Mm-hmm. I think he did a great job.
I agree.
I did not feel good about the chance of Geno. Come on.
So here's the thing. I didn't mind. Is it because you felt like it was too much pressure for Geno, or you felt like it was a slight towards
I think it was a slight man has given us so much for 10 years.
Yes.
I ain't feeling that.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I don't know where all this, like, Russell Wilson hate came from. And you can have your own kind of, like, I don't know if I'd hang out with Russell. I don't know if I'd grab a beer with Russell.
Right.
And still recognize that he's a good quarterback.
Yes.
And that's where so many people, in my opinion, fall apart. Is people will text in all the time, Russell Wilson's trash, he's selfish, get rid of him. And I'm like, actually, he's not trash, and it is incredibly difficult to find quarterbacks that are this good. And I'm sorry that he's not the best quarterback in the league, but he's like almost unanimously like a top three, top five quarterback.
And he's Cal Ripken for 10
years. Yeah,
I'm sorry
if you don't want to grab a beer with him after work, but guess what? He's not going to your bar anyways. He's a millionaire. Like, none of us care. None of us care.
Stacey Joe Ross from the Jake and Stacey Show. You can hear that show from 10 to 2 weekdays. Stacey, have a great weekend.
Bye, guys.
Hey, coming up next, you know what? Let's get real. We're going to have a real discussion. No. A real discussion about mask. And I'll tell you what I really think about mask and what's going on in San Francisco next. G and Ursula with Mace. Is the G and Ursula Show. Mace, we got back in so late. Mm-hmm. I blame me for that. Coming up at 10 o'clock, Michael Medved will join the show for the top three things you need to know at 10. He'll be hanging out with us, but right now we need to talk. Mace, real quick.
Yeah.
San Francisco, down there in California, just in case there's some geography folks that are struggling with that. San Francisco is to lift indoor mask mandate starting October 15th in venues with groups of 100 or fewer fully vaccinated people who meet regularly. So that includes gyms, offices, religious gatherings, and college classrooms. Masking still required in stores and restaurants. Your thoughts?
It's confusing. This whole thing is confusing. And there are a lot of different reasons for it. I think when people get irritated or impatient or tired of all of this mandates, we're doing this works here, but not over here. And if I stand, I need a mask. And if I sit, apparently it's magically okay. There's a lot of confusion and many, many different reasons. One is you're trying to deal with scientific principles to a generally scientific illiterate culture. Right. I remember learning in school that the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell, but I don't know what that means or how that works, really. And I consider that to be like more knowledgeable than your average American when it comes to science. Disinformation, inconsistency through policy, all of this is very confusing. And I think we're tired of it. And I am. And so I just want to know, what is the deal? What do we need to do? And unfortunately, I just don't know that you can get a clear, concise, factual message across these days anymore.
Yeah, what do you got there, Chef?
I like this text from Ian. The inconsistency in our mask mandates is bizarre. If I spend 2 hours in a bar crammed at the counter watching football and cheering, I only have to wear a mask the approximately 2 minutes it takes to enter, exit, and go to the bathroom. It makes no sense.
Right.
And I mean, I was at the Mariners game last Sunday, and if you see the cameras at Lumen Field, we cannot consider that to be an outdoor environment when you have that many people together. And by the way, if you use the bathroom at one of those stadiums, it is like a fog machine in there just from all the vapors rising.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that drives people more than perceived hypocrisy. I don't know what to do about
it.
I agree on both of you guys. I don't have anything to disagree about. There's probably one thing that's just drives me nuts this entire time during the pandemic. Seriously, like this, it really bothers me. The temperature checks.
Oh, really?
The temperature checks really. Like, really?
See, I don't mind that.
Let me ask you this: have you personally, seen anybody walk in and somebody says, "Sorry, sir, you can't come
in"?
Oh,
yeah, no, I haven't. I haven't seen too many places that temp check, and I do get nervous as soon as I see that little forehead gun come out. I'm like, oh no, like, am I wearing too many layers? Am I going to be too hot? Like, I get a little worried, but yeah, you're right. Nothing's probably going to happen.
Both you and I did a show together, so both you and I would get hot all the time.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? We always sweat.
I'm sweating right now.
You know what I'm saying? Same. I've always been scared to show up and have been like you just got out of the car, maybe the heater's been on, or you're hot.
Yeah.
And so, sorry, sir, you can't come in. And it happens in front of other people.
You're like, I run hot.
As a matter of fact, I would love 888-973-CHIRO. Has that ever happened to you? Have you been turned away because your temperature was too high?
Yes.
And if so, was that an embarrassing moment or what? Hey, we appreciate all of you being with us. Coming up next, Michael Medved will join the show. For the top three things you need to know at 10 is G and Ursula with Mace.